from Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired Profiles, Power Pop Progenitors, American Hi-Fi, and their latest release, Fight the Frequency. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. Today I'm pleased to be giving it up for the band American Hi-Fi, who have just released their brand spanking new CD, Fight the Frequency. I first became aware of this band almost 10 years ago from their hit Flavor of the Week. It was a very interesting time in music, and in the world for that matter. American Hi-Fi was getting airplay at a time when all you could expect to hear from radio was teen pop and rap metal. Their brash, gritty, power pop sound was indeed a breath of fresh air and captured a certain sense of optimism which would soon fade fast, considering the fact that 9/11 wasn't too far behind. Now it's a different world, and the band still aims to make good old-fashioned rock and roll. I had a chance to speak with lead singer and guitarist Stacy Jones about the new album, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From the CD Fight the Frequency, here is American Hi-Fi with Lost.
Here I stand, with lines drawn in the sand. On each side there's an ocean, staring out to see the lights as they pull me in. It brings me close to home, I start to swim alone. The stillness of the sea comes crashing at my feet.
From the album Fight the Frequency, that was American Hi-Fi with Lost. Check them out at their official website, www.americanhi-fi.com. I had a chance to speak with frontman Stacy Jones about the new album, and here's how it went. Well, the new album, Fight the Frequency, interesting title. Talk about the title of it.
Well, Fight the Frequency is a song that's on the record, and I think that we decided to just call the record that because we feel like that song, Fight the Frequency, really sums up hi-fi in a nutshell. And I guess if there were such a thing as the American hi-fi sound, I guess we kind of feel like it might be all in that song.
I see. And now that this CD is out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
Well, we're excited. We're very proud of this record. We worked on it for a long time. We worked on it for a couple of years. And so now that it's actually out there and out there for the world and for other people other than, my mom and dad and our friends to hear it, we're pretty excited about it. I think this record is something we're all really proud of.
What do you think is different this time around from previous releases?
Well, I think with this record, I think we actually went back to our debut album in terms of sonics, in terms of the style of the record and the music, and that was a very conscious effort, a conscious decision. I think that another thing that is similar is that on the first album, it was just the four of us in the studio with Bob, Bob Rock producing. And we didn't have a label attached. We didn't have managers breathing down our necks. And this record was the same way, minus Bob. We didn't have Bob Rock in there, although we would have loved that. But it was just the four of us. So at the end of the day, we really only had ourselves to please. And that was a good place to be creatively.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get the going back to basics approach, but I also understand that this is the first time you guys are releasing this CD on your own. I mean, with the help of Red Eye Distribution, but, this is really, you guys just putting it out there.
That's true. We spoke to a bunch of labels when we were done making this album. We talked to indies, we talked to majors, and we had this opportunity to start our own label through Sony Red, and It was something that my manager and I had discussed in the past, something we were interested in, and so it just seemed like a great opportunity to give it a shot. And we'll see how it goes. I think that ultimately it gives us a little more control over what happens, and it's an exciting time for us.
I mean control is always great, but has there been any difficulty, in doing this on your own, or is it easier now?
I mean, well, I think certain things are easier. It's easier to do things with the web than it was in the past. So you can reach people quickly and in greater numbers that way. It's harder in that we're not a major label. So we don't have we don't have a giant bank account to fund things. So we have to be a little bit smarter about the decisions we make in terms of marketing and touring and things like that. We don't have that that the deep pockets of a major label.
I see. Talk about the beginning of this band. How did it all come together? How did you all come together to decide to make this thing happen?
Well, we were all friends. We all go way back. We all went to college together in Boston. We were all playing in different bands and touring together in other bands when we were younger. And basically, we just kind of decided the four of us wanted to be in a band together. And Brian was playing drums, I was playing drums, Jamie on guitar, Drew on bass, and we figured, well, one of the drummers is going to have to do something else, unless we're going to have two drummers in the band, which really wasn't something we wanted to experiment with. So I just said, I'll pick up guitar and give it a whirl and try singing. And so originally we did that, and it was just kind of like getting together in a rehearsal space, getting a case of Bud Light and jamming out like Cheap Trick songs. That's really where it started. And then I started writing some tunes, and we started recording them, and that's how American Hi-Fi was born.
And I remember Flavor of the Week, you know, your first big single. I remember it from the early part of 2001, and it came out at a very interesting time. You know, we were kind of inundated with bubblegum pop music.
Yep.
And then a few months later, 9/11 happens.
Yep.
So you've got some pretty interesting markers for the start of your career. Talk about that time.
Yeah, that was an interesting year. You know, I mean, obviously it was really exciting for us, you know, coming out of the gates and having a song, you know, be on the radio, be on MTV. And so we were out there touring and really hitting it hard. And, you know, when September 11th came around, we were on tour. We were down in Florida, and I remember waking up on the bus, because, you know, people, when we're on tour, generally people aren't getting up at, you know, 7:30, 8 in the morning on the tour bus, you know. And I heard people kind of rustling around, and I looked out of my bunk, and I saw a few people in the front lounge, you know, watching the TV, and I could see, you know, and I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, you know, a plane hit the World Trade Center." And so we didn't really know what was happening, but of course the events unfolded shortly thereafter. And, you know, it was a strange time for all of us. We were all, you know, out on tour away from our families, and we weren't really sure what to do. You know, we weren't sure if we should continue the tour or go home. And so we ended up canceling a few shows, I don't know, maybe a week's worth or so. And then we started hearing from, you know, from our fans and just other people that were in other bands. And we started hearing that people wanted to go out, they wanted to go see a band, you know, they wanted to take their mind off it a little, because I think, you know, all of us were just glued in front of the television set, you know, 24 hours a day for several weeks. So we did end up kicking the tour back in and playing some shows, and I'm glad we did, you know, because it was a nice distraction for us and for our fans, I think.
Talk about the other members of the band. Tell me who they are and what it is you think each of them brings to the table, not just musically, but personality-wise, that makes this thing work and has made you guys stick together this long.
Well, I think personality-wise, you know, we're all... I mean, American Hi-Fi has really just evolved into this boys' club for us, you know? And so it's a great excuse for us to get together, drink beers, make some music, maybe go see a Red Sox game, you know, or if we're in L.A., we go see the Dodgers. And, you know, it's just a great thing for us. You know, we've been friends forever. We've all known each other since we were like 18, 19, 20, around that age. So it really has just turned into a boys' club.
Visit the band at their official website, www.americanhi-fi.com. Here is American Hi-Fi with the title track of their latest CD, Fight the Frequency.
Listen. With radiation low.
And explain, if it can be explained, you know, how songwriting gets done within this band. How does that happen?
Well, usually I'll bring in a song and I'll get it to about 80% before I show it to the guys. And you know, if we've gotten pretty good over the years at whipping a song into shape. For example, when we're on tour, I'll maybe be working on a song on a tour bus. I'll bring it in. I'll show the guys at sound check. We'll play it 3 or 4 times, and you know, kind of work on the arrangement, and then we'll play it that night at the show. And that's always been a good thing for us because you know, it gives us a little sounding board. You know, we can bounce new ideas off the audience and see if they stick, and then take it back to the studio and sort of craft it even more. You know, I think, again, because we all know each other so well, we all have the same influences, it's pretty easy for us to get a song together.
With that being said, what songs off of the new album resonate for you the most personally and why?
Well, there's a few. You know, one of the things that I did on this record that is new for me is I really injected my personal life into the lyrics and into the songs. You know, I've written about myself in the past, but I sort of hid behind, you know, vague or cryptic lyrics, or you know, I would invent a scenario and put myself in that, and that would be the song. So for this record, there are actually a few songs that really are about me. You know, I went through it was a pretty tough year for me personally last year, and a lot of soul searching was going on for me. So I think a few of the songs really reflect that, and Where Love Is a Lie is one, Lost is one, and so, you know, it was a good experience and very therapeutic for me to be able to write about my own life in that way.
Back in 2001, you guys really had this strong, you know, power pop sensibility that you've come back to, or maybe always had. I only know the first album and this one.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like, you know, maybe the band was a little ahead of its time? Like I said earlier, when you guys came out, there wasn't anything like you. And then, you know, as the decade progressed, you had more and more bands like The Killers and, you know, and Jet and, you know, and things like that coming along.
Sure.
Has that ever crossed your mind?
No, you know, I mean, not so much, a little bit. I mean, I think, you know, there were always bands like Hi-Fi around, but what wasn't happening back then was those bands weren't getting played on Top 40 radio. You know, we found ourselves with Flavor of the Week on Top 40, and you know, we'd go play these shows, and it would be like us and Dream and like Christina Aguilera. You know, we'd be opening for all these, you know, really like pop stars, and here we are, kind of this like scrappy rock and roll band. So you know, I think we did. You know, we may have broken down a couple doors. I'm not saying that we were reinvented any wheel or anything. I mean, there were, you know, plenty of bands like us around. I just don't think they were getting played on Top 40. And then, you know, then you started seeing the radio format change a little bit. And again, I'm not suggesting we did that. I think it was just, you know, kind of a sign of the times.
I see. And from from the time, you know, Flavor of the Week was a hit up until now, what has been the biggest surprise for you? What has transpired in this time that you didn't, that you never would have expected to happen, but did?
Well, lots of things. You know, I first of all, I can't believe we're still a band. You know, it's been 10 years. So that's pretty remarkable. It's also remarkable to me that people care about our band as much as they do. You know, I'll hear from people and they'll say, you know, what our records have meant to them in the past and what our songs have meant to them and, you know, help them get through certain periods of their life. And you know, that's something I can relate to because I feel that way about other artists or bands that, you know, that I really like. So that to me has been a very special thing.
I know this is too early to ask this question, but, you know, you guys have formed your own label. You've just now released this new album. What do you think is next for the band musically?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that what we're really looking forward to right now is getting out on the road and playing some shows. So we're trying to figure out where we're going to do that. You know, all of us are involved in other ventures outside of Hi-Fi at this point. So we're trying to find a nice slot to go out and play some music because I know we all want to.
And what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard this new album?
You know, I don't think that there's any real message that I need to broadcast. It's not a concept album or anything. You know, it's just a good time rock and roll record, and I think that's the kind of records that we've always made. And you know, a lot of times those are the records I like to listen to, you know, by other artists. So, you know, I hope that people can, you know, either stick it in their car and you know, blast down the freeway with the windows down, or you know, maybe, you know, sit on your bed with headphones on and get lost in the music. I mean, you know, those are the things that I like to do with bands and records that I love. So I hope that people can do that with ours.
Visit the band at their official website, www.AmericanHi-Fi.com. From their CD, Fight the Frequency, here is American Hi-Fi once more with Where Love is a Lie.
It's too late, love's in the past, burned out with your last cigarette. So long now, follow the sun, and the morning will come, you'll forget. But way down deep, you never sleep, you'll always remember her high wire grace, her smiling face, and a kiss like December. Just here and it's gone, and soon you'll see you're never free. You'll always remember her high wire grace, her smiling face, and a kiss like December. Let go of your ghosts from the past. When the sky falls like the sun says goodbye, and the will to pretend and you dies, you remember the light in her eyes. When the sky falls like the sun says goodbye, in the past, burned out with your last cigarette.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Stacey Jones of American Hi-Fi and to Amanda Kagan of ABC Public Relations. Once again, visit American Hi-Fi at www.americanhi-fi.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.